If you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn with us, please. We're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture. And you know, when we think about our English language, it's about one of the oddest languages I know of. When I say that, we need to face up to the fact, because there are some things and it just does not make a whole lot of sense. You know, that's just, there's no egg in eggplant, are they? And let me tell you something, there's no ham and hamburger, it would be something different. There's no pine or apple in pineapple. English muffins were not invented in England. And French fries certainly did not come from France. But if we examine its paradox, we find something very, very unique. Quicksand takes you down slowly, not quickly. Glub, glub, glub. Boxing rings are not rings at all. They're square. And a guinea pig is neither from Guinea nor is it a pig. Any, how many have got a hot water heater? It's not a hot water heater either. If the water was already hot, it wouldn't need to be heated. We use that and we say that, but it's just a plain water heater. Am I right? Well, let me ask you another one. If vegetarians eat vegetables, what in the world do humanitarians eat? Humans? The English language was invented by people, not computers, and it reflects the creativity of the human race, which is not a race at all, if you please. Therefore, when we think about what we're fixing to celebrate and what the world is celebrating, Halloween, where in the world did it come from? Where did it come from? Let me tell you, it was created by man. It was created by man because mankind likes to glorify evil and the things of the dark. We've got churches tonight that's not having church because they're having a celebration called something else. So I know several churches doing this. But the thing about it is, what if someone come to church to worship and there's nobody there? I might get in trouble before I get through tonight. I usually stay in trouble. I got in trouble at the church I went to one time because I'd been there, started there in September, and I walked in that weekend of Easter, that had been the last weekend of October, I guess, and as I walked in, they had a banister rail around the here about this high and the piano set behind it, and when I come into the choir room, meeting with the choir, and coming back there sat a dad-blame jack-o'-lantern on this side and a jack-o'-lantern on that side. My face turned, I bet you, just as red as Lucille's sweater. But you know what I done? I got one of them in one hand and one of them in the other. There was a cemetery at the back of the door, and I walked and throwed them both out in the cemetery. I said, we don't need to promote anything of the devil. We do not need to have something that reflects that which is evil. Let's face it, folks. We're living in a day when the Christians have fallen in line to celebrate what we call Halloween, and it is of the devil. I told you, y'all might be mad with me, probably fire me before we get through, and if my brain was on fire, you wouldn't pour water in my ear, but that's okay too. The thing we need to understand is God warned the children of Israel in the very early stages because they were people that practiced these kind of things back in Deuteronomy. He said, do not have any association with them, and if the witch comes along, they were an abomination to destroy them. But did you notice the Blackshire Times this past Wednesday? Huh? Did anybody notice it? Anybody get the Blackish Times? I would say 50% or better it was dealing with Halloween. Where in the world do we make the mark and make the distinction? Tonight I want us to look at some passages of Scripture because in there I think we can find the solution. We can find the answer. Why did Jesus always ruin Halloween? Why does he? Why will he? First Scripture's in Luke 4. 33-37, if you'll turn there. Luke 4, 33-37. And then, hold that, because we'll go back, we're going to reverse this procedure. Hold that and go to Matthew 8, 28-34. And want to read out of Matthew 8, 28 to 34. Matthew 8, 28 to 34. Would you stand for the reading of God's word in honor of his word? Matthew 8, 28 to 34. And then remain standing for prayer. If God's word is true, and it is the very heart of God. It teaches us how we ought to live. In Matthew 8, 28, it says this, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time? And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." My friends, that is the sentiment of America tonight. Depart out of our coast. We don't want anything to do with this thing called Christianity. We don't want anything to do with this narrow-minded thinking that Jesus is the only way. They would say, "Jesus, get out of our coast." Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, we bow in submission to you to give thanks to you for the many, many, many multiple blessings you bestow on us as your children. We are so blessed. We are so encouraged by your very power and presence, Lord, as you demonstrate the fullness of who you are in our midst day by day, and Lord, as you work in our lives. God, I am so appalled and amazed at how you do that. And I pray tonight, Lord, that as we look together in your word, that we will open our hearts and our mind, and Lord, that you would open our understanding, that we could receive and be receptive to what you want to say to each of us. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to recognize as your children that we are children of the light and not of the darkness. I pray, God, tonight that you would help us to understand that we have a task and we have a mission, and that is to be salt and light in this perverse society in which we live. I pray, God, tonight that you'd just have your will accomplished in each of our lives, and we would submit ourselves unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that he may take us and transform us and use us for his glory to be about our Father's business. I pray, O Father, tonight that you would bless those that are hurting, those that are suffering. Lord, those that's on our prayer list, those that were mentioned in the prayer rooms tonight, God, there are so many, but you know each one. You know the circumstances of their life. You know the problems they're facing. You know the things they're going through. And God, we know that you're the one that can bring about what is good and right and redemptive and the best for that individual. So, Father, tonight, we commit it to you, and we ask you to work and to do that which only you can do. And even now, as an act of faith on our part, as a body of believers, God, we're going to thank you and to praise you for what you're going to do. And we ask it, Lord, in your name. And I pray once again, O Father, that you would take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you'd speak through them the truth of your word, that we can each one be drawn closer to you in the bond of that perfect love, O God. May our lives be so in tune with you that those who see us day in and day out can reflect and rate and realize that we are with you. We live in the presence of you, and our lives reflect and radiate the very power of you working in our lives. God, do that which only you can, and even now we'll thank you and praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' strong name and for his glory alone. Amen. I got news. Some of you might not want this, and the devil didn't want it either. He's done everything he could to hinder it. But the thing about it is we need to recognize and understand that this thing is something of the darkness. Therefore, Halloween, I said, is a human invention. Why? Because it glorifies evil. It glorifies the things of the dark. But I believe, if I remember what Jesus said, that we are to be children of the light. We are to reflect and radiate light. We cannot be the light if we join with the darkness of this world to the standpoint that we allow the world to put our light out. So there's some things. What did Jesus think about Halloween? What did he think about Halloween? There are several things that I want to look at tonight as we look at this passage, because there are several things that Jesus would do. Jesus, when we think about would ruin Halloween, how would he do that? These next several days will glorify what we think is good and some of the world thinks is good, but they glorify witches, they glorify warlocks, devils, and death, and it would be promoted as a power in this world and powerful influence in this world. But the church, listen to me, but the church isn't supposed to tremble by the darkness. We need to recognize we are to shine, we are to take authority over it, and we are to overcome it with good, as Jesus said. I believe Jesus always ruined Halloween. He never let demons ruin his work. He always spoiled their parties. Why Jesus always ruined Halloween? The first one there, as we looked, because as I got on the board, demons realize that they aren't all powerful. Demons realize they are not all powerful. When Jesus shows up, something begins to happen. What happens? If you look at the scripture very close, we see that they begin to cry. That's what it said there in verse 29, was it? In our text. Look back in verse 29 with me again. It says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time?" See, they understood. They recognized, because they knew who Jesus was. The first thing they cried like a baby, "Why are you here? Why are you ruining things for us? You are the very Son of God. You are the Holy One. Please don't hurt us." They cried, "Leave us alone." Look in verse 34. "And behold, the whole city came out, and the people and they that saw him besought him that he would depart out of their coast." In other words, leave us alone. Let us do our thing. Let us be what we want to be and forget about us. And let me tell you something, folks. We need to understand and realize that in the process of our country, the downfalling of our country and our nation, we see that God has been moved out of circumstance and situation. I can't pull my coat off. I've got the thing in there. But the thing about it is we need to understand that in the process of what God would have, he never, never intended for us to look at things the way that we look at them today. I do not believe the church needs to be involved in this. It does not help anything. The only thing that it can do is it can hurt, and that's what happened. They cried, "Leave us alone." The people there in the city cried, "Leave us alone." Why did they do that? Because, see, they thought more of the herd of swine than they do of those two men that were captivated and controlled by the devil himself. And they thought more of them, of the hogs, than they did those two individuals. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people today that cares more for things than they do for people. Tuesday night, we'll see exactly what happens. How many people have come? How many be here for visitation? Let me tell you something. Our church and the churches we are part of, we need to understand that this is one of the critical things in our church life. If we do not visit people, we are internally dying. And when we do not get out and reach out and meet the needs and help people find their Jesus Christ as their Savior, the church is literally dying. When we miss out on evangelism, the church is dying. You can go up north and you can find some monstrosity buildings there. I mean, glorious buildings, big buildings, but there are no people there. And the reason there are no people there is because they turned internally on themselves. They forgot about their community, their neighborhood, and they focused on themselves, and they died because they forgot about evangelism and telling lost people about Jesus Christ. We need to recognize we have a task before us. And let me tell you something, it's not getting easier by no means. It's getting harder and harder and harder. I have been visiting to people, and I just about as soon to have been fighting with a bull as I had some of those as you met them, because of the things they said, the accusations they made. But the thing about it is, Jesus said we are to keep on keeping on. We are to persevere for the glory of God. We are to invite, Jesus said, He said for us to bring them in. He says compel them to come in. And we need to compel them to come and to be a part of the worship, to find the reality of what worship is all about. I like what Brother Ibe said this morning, this old time thing. Let me tell you something. I'm old time. I'm old fashioned too, because I'm older than he is by about a year. Something like that. But anyhow, when we think about, and this is what a lot of folks have said, I just talked with a man 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. He talked about this old-time church business. He said it is outdated in our society today. If the church is outdated, folks, there's something wrong with our society. The society has lost touch with reality. We've lost touch with what God would have in the society's life. And that is exactly what happened. Nation after nation, you read about them in the Bible, and you see they come on the scene, and they fall flat on their face, and they're into oblivion because they forget about God and who He is. Folks, we need to wake up. We need to wake up and smell the roses and wake up and count the cost, because there's a cost involved. They cried out, leave us alone. They cried out, look what it says. Are you going to torment us before time? Verse 29. When they see Jesus, they always wonder, is it it? Is it time? Is it now? They're always, and they're going to recognize, because they know that Jesus one day is going to pronounce that curse, and they will all go down, down, down. Every demon, every satanic force knows the end of the story is that Jesus will cast them all into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. No ifs, ands, nor buts about it. Jesus has the authority and the power to do that according to Revelation 22. And when we understand that, we need to understand the reason that Jesus always ruined and is still ruined Halloween is because they are not as powerful as they think they are. We're living in a world, and I know Jesus recognized this. He said that He was the prince of the power of the air. And I had a run-in with a man about this one time because he couldn't understand where he thought Jesus was talking about. But Jesus was talking about from a standpoint of those who align their lives with the things of evil, those who align their lives with the wrong things, then they are bound to that prince of the power of the air. When Jesus was talking here, He had authority. And they recognize, the devils recognizes the authority of Jesus. But the problem today, does the church really recognize the authority of Jesus? Do we? Reason two. When Jesus shows up, I'll tell you what. When Jesus shows up, something happens. When you cast us out, the next reason Jesus always ruined Halloween is that the demon possession, the tormented spirits, the spirit of fear, the spirit of addiction has all got to go when Jesus shows up. There's no ifs, ands, nor buts about it, folks. I'll guarantee you when Jesus shows up in situations, the influence and the bondage that Satan has on a life, he has no power anymore. That's why, as a child of God, we need to thank God every day that Satan does not have any power in our life, only that which we allow him, if you please, allow him to infringe on us or to bring on us, because we listen to him and we honor what he says instead of honoring what Jesus said in the Word of God. There are some things that we need to remember. When you cast us out, there's no question that Jesus will, then he will take possession of life. The devil has got to go. When Jesus comes into a life, the devil has got to go. Let me tell you something. He vacates the premise with his absence as soon as Jesus comes in. Amen? He always will. Demons, the devil has to say, what Jesus says will happen is going to happen. I love it. It says the demons begged him to be cast into the herd of swine. Please, Jesus, don't torment us yet. Please let us go. But, and if you ever mess with a bunch of hogs, you can understand why that some of those demons are still around, I think. Amen? because they got a mind of their own. I remember the last time I was turned upside, the hardest I've ever been turned upside of is one run between my legs and turned me upside down. Just hit on my back. I thought it broke. And if I'd have had something, we'd eat him for supper or something or other. But the analogy here is the Jewish people looked down on swine. I mean, a person who messed with swine, a person who was involved with swine, or even the person who used swine, that they were unclean, and they were unclean beasts according to the standard of the Old Testament. But the thing about it was, is here the unclean goes into the unclean, and the thing about it was here those men were possessed with the devils or demons that bound them and restricted them from living in life. And let me tell you something, that's what Jesus come to do, is it not? Is to make possible living and life for all those who will put their faith and trust in Him and look to Him to bring about, if you please, the deliverance from the power of Satan and the influence of Satan. We need as a people to recognize that Jesus will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He said that. He gave us that promise. And when Jesus comes in, Satan has got to go. Period. There is no ifs, ands, nor buts about it. He will have to vacate the premises. And so we see that this is what happened. But when Jesus speaks a word, the word never returns unto him void. Did you know that? Never returns unto him. The devil and every demon has no match for the word. With power he commanded the demons, and they obeyed him. Let me tell you something. Jesus has the power to command even today for the glory of God. Well, as we move on, now turn back to Luke 4th chapter. We'll get into the second part of the message. That was just half of it. Opening remarks. The third reason I got on the board, when Jesus shows up, he is always glorified and the devil is always humiliated. When Jesus shows up, look in chapter Luke 4:36. 4:30. Let's just read those verses. Just five of them there. Starting in verse 33, it says, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil." Now, I don't know about unclean. I don't know. Unclean devil. Is there a clean devil? What does this mean, unclean devil? Wretched, the term there means. Wretched devil. "And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, What a word is this?" Did you catch that? "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out, and the fame of him went out into every place in the country round about." Look what it says there in that verse 36. This word he's talking about, with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits. Jesus is always glorified, and the devil is always humiliated. Let me tell you something. Jesus put the devil to open shame. Every time the devil thinks he's winning, let me tell you something, he winds up on the losing end. And bless God, I know he's already been defeated. The Bible tells me that. You know why I know that? Is because I've read the last chapter in the book, folks. And I know that he will be defeated. He will be destroyed. And we need to recognize and we need to live in the light of that as his people tonight. I thank my God that we can look at that and we can think that we can have victory. The demons tremble when Jesus is absent. The demons seem so strong. But then they think they're all powerful. But when he shows up, they cower, they tremble, they beg him permission to do things. Look in verse it says, the disciples returning from ministry. You remember whenever Jesus sent them out and they were returning from ministry? And as they went out, they sent the 70 out, or the 12 out, and they came back and they made this astounding remarks there to Jesus. And what they said? They said that even the demons are subject to us through your name. Let me tell you something. Halloween is glorified in America. Demons, witches, warlocks are promoted as powerful, but Jesus will ruin Halloween as the church rises up in power and takes authority over every spirit that confesses not Jesus as Christ and Lord. Amen? We need to recognize that. There's another reason. Another reason. Jesus defeating the devil becomes a great witness. In 437, look what it says. We read that, but look at it again. It says, "And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about." Jesus defeated the devil, and when he defeated the devil, he becomes a great witness in the world. The fame of him went to every place. Matthew 8:34, "Behold," it says, "the whole city came out to meet him there as he was at Gadara." But they come out to meet him, but was for a different reason. Because, see, they were entirely different from those folks here because they wanted Jesus to leave. They want him to be gone out of their presence because of what had transpired. Let me tell you something. As Christians, we are going, as a Christian, we're going and doing those things that we ought not to do. They're going inside the outhouses. They're going in the curse of darkness. We're called as the lights to shine in darkness. We're the lights of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. The best witness in this world is ruining Satan's holiday. Did you know that? Ruining demon possession. Taking authority over every evil thing. Folks, the message of Jesus defeating the devil needs to reach out into our community. We need to realize that people need to know that we have power in the name of Jesus. They have power in the name of Jesus to overcome. In Isaiah 45:29, it says this, "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." But Paul adds something to that in his writing. He said that every tongue shall confess the Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we understand, folks, we have a responsibility. We have a call in our life that we are to be different from the world. And let me tell you something. You cannot be different from the world when you stand along beside and practice things like the world practices. We need to open our eyes to the realization of what we need to be about. I read something just the other day. Says this one man's thought was, it says it makes no difference how much darkness is in this world, how much evil is in this world, and the darkness of that evil, it cannot put out the light of one true child of God that is sold out to Jesus Christ. You think about that for just a moment. Cannot extinguish the light. Let me tell you something, folks. We're living in a day when we need, as Jesus said, to let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think about what Jesus said, how as he confronted those evil forces, the demons and the devils. If we look at this, where was this man? Where was he? You go back in Matthew's gospel, you find there in the early chapters that Jesus went to the place of worship and there was a man that was possessed with the devil. You mean the devil comes to church? Yes, sir, he comes to church. He comes to church because many times he possesses those lives that are not given to him from a standpoint of allowing him to be Lord of their lives. And you know what I found? And this is Marshall Dixon thinking in theology. Many times, those are the people that give you so much trouble in the church because they are not in a spiritual link with the things of God because they're sold out to the things of the world and to Satan. Oucho me, but it's very true. We need to recognize as a people of God, yes, Jesus has called us to be a light. And we are to live in the light of that. We're to live in recognition that he's the one who empowers us to shine forth into a dark and dismal world. And let me tell you something, you cannot do it celebrating Halloween. Oucho me, So what do we do? What do we do? I'll tell you what we do. We take a stand. I mean a stand against those things. Let me tell you something. If you do not stand for something, you will fall for anything that comes along. That's some of the problem in people in the world today. This religion comes along and they don't know enough about what they believe, what their church believes, and they'll fall for that because they do not understand, do not recognize the power that Jesus has in their life. Let me tell you something. Jesus has all power if he's Lord of our life. Listen to me. If he is Lord of our life. Lord of our life. He come for that purpose. He come for that purpose. To be Savior and Lord. The Lord, that's what the Philippian jailer said, was it? When he come in and he cried, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The Lord. Lord, he is Lord of all. He's not Lord at all. Jesus, Savior, Deliverer. Christ, the anointed one of God. The terminology there, it means that we put it all together. He told that Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy household." And what he was saying to them is when you put your trust in the person of Jesus Christ and you recognize what he accomplished for you at the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ, then and only then can you really know about salvation. Then and only then can you really understand what it means to have that new birth experience. Folks, I believe with every fiber of my being, we're living in some dark, dismal days, but my, we need to let our light shine for the glory of God. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful to you. So grateful to you for your word. And Lord, we see how you met the devil head on. And so many times we allow ourselves to be sold under his authority we think he has. But according to the word of God, what you've said, he has no authority over a child of God. Only that which we allow him to have, and we give him precedence in our lives if we allow him to do things in and through us. God, I pray tonight that we may understand and realize that he does many things to destroy us as a child of God. But we need to recognize and understand because we are a child of God, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, we can worship and have that unique fellowship. And because of that, he has no power over us, Lord. Help us, oh God, to live in the light of your presence, working in and through our lives to a lost and dying world. God, have your will as our prayer in Jesus' name in each heart here tonight. There might be that person that's never trusted you as Savior. They may be a member of this church or some other church, but they've never trusted you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that right now you'll speak to that heart. Help them to see their need to trust you and what you accomplish at the cross for salvation. That you paid it all. The song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Lord, help us to recognize and understand that. Help us to realize, oh Father, that what you have for us is the very best that the world has to offer. The world does not have anything to offer better than what you have. And God, I pray that you'll help us to be all that you'd have us to be for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. Hymn of invitation.
And thine, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, O blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Precious.